You guys don't look very excited to be here. Are we happy to be here?
Yeah.
Then I want to see a little bit of teeth and a little bit of an uprise on the side here. The Lord is good.
Yeah.
We were instructed that our fallow ground should be turned. So let's turn it. There's something interesting about how the Lord deals with us, I think, is he tells us, we believe him, then we say, well, I'll do that. And then, if you're anything like me, the brain starts going like this, and the day starts going like this, and I forgot what I had for breakfast, let alone what he said to me. So, therefore, he brings it to our remembrance again and again. I'm hoping that we are going to begin to mature so that it is time for us to go on, so that when he tells us to do something, we have absolute trust in him that we do it. That's what my prayer is. I'm hoping that this week, whatever the needs are, that we will always give praise to him, because we know he is greater than any problem that we can put at his feet. Anyways, I really appreciate this morning how, I think it was Brother Eldon, when he got the young people behind him to say amen real loud. Because sometimes I think we're sort of afraid to be heard in the house of the Lord. But I've really got in my heart a song, but someone just brought a prayer request up here. Brother Robert, if you'd come up, please. They've asked us to pray over a canky. It says, please pray for our sister Sarah, who has a lung condition. She needs a healing in her lungs. This is from Midge Lesson and Mike Reef.
Praise God. Can we all stand, if you don't mind, and let's look to the Lord, believe in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you this evening that we could gather in your presence. Lord, from the onset, we know that you are the healer. You're the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Amen.
And so today we come to you with that boldness, because you told us that we can enter into your presence boldly, realizing that thou art the healer and the mighty God, the great physician, Lord. Father, we commit Sarah before you, who needs a healing touch in her lungs. We pray that the nail-scarred hand of Calvary may reach down and touch her.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, that she may feel that anointing, that she may feel the infusion of the power of God in her life.
Amen.
Touching her lungs and every organ in her body, Lord, as we believe you today, because there's no distance in prayer. And Father, whatever we have asked in Jesus' name, we know it shall be done. We thank you for doing it for Sarah, blessing us.
Amen.
Now, as we reach our hearts out to you, Lord, believing you that what you have promised, you're able to fulfill. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Brother David, would you come and take this? Where did he go? Thank you. So I was getting a little wound up before I did that, so I'm going to get wound up again. Everybody turn to page 133. And I'm going to read just the first verse. And it says, I have tasted of freedom. Are we bound? We don't have to be. Many have come to the front over the years and been delivered from many things. We are a privileged people, and we have tasted of freedom. And we've been told since I've been this high to a grasshopper that we're to be led by the Spirit. And it says, I can go where he's leading. He's leading us by the Spirit. It's not our own thinking. It's not our own mind. For shackles can hold me no more. There is no bound on him. I have learned of life's essence, and I stand in his presence as we do this evening. and sing with my heart, He is Lord. I hope we can sing that with all those loud voices that said amen back up here. Let our joyful song be heard in the temple. Let him just know that there's joy in our hearts. So I'm not much of a singer, so they're going to have to start it here and then we'll get going. I have tasted of freedom, my captor. Those of you who have a song of praise, lead out in that song. Give praises to his name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, how I love Jesus. Yeah, I'm never starting a song tonight. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh.
Oh,
Let's just lift our voice in praise to Him. Just lift your voice and give praises unto Him. Don't worry about where you stand and who's around you. Just give praises to the one that you're singing to. He deserves our praises. He dwells in our praises. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thou art our God, hallelujah.
It's too big, but I say unto thee, if you will just praise the Lord God, He will fill your heart with faith to conquer, saith the Lord. Just praise Him with all that you have. Give Him your honor, give Him your glory, and He will do it.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
There is no one person on earth that is holy but you, Father God. For that, Lord, your blood is sufficient for us. Your grace is sufficient for us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
With me, that I, that is in my glory, that you be partakers of that glory, that you follow this path as you must go, because I have called you forth, and you come in and enter in, and fully enter in with the Holy Spirit, for the Spirit is my Spirit, saith the Lord. I will lead you, I will guide you, I will take you to where you will be, where you shall be, and when we are going together as workers of one another, together we shall enter into the glory of the Lord in the highest realm of the Spirit that you will ever know or find out, because you cannot reckon it in yourself, but lean not on your own understanding, but come forth, and I'll show you my glory, and you'll be partakers of this glory.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And the glory, yea, and to take none unto yourselves, Yea, for I shall give you the glory of my spirit, saith the Lord. Yea, that your works should reflect the glory of the Father, saith God. Yea, and that thy works should be my works, saith the Lord. Your thoughts would be my thoughts, your words my words, saith the Lord. Yea, to work truth within the earth, and to push back the shadow of lies, saith God. Yea, that disease should fall, saith the Lord. Yea, that untruth should bow its head. Yea, that these things should be done through my spirit, working through my people, saith God. Yea, for this is the order that I have come to establish, and this is the order that I have established within thee, saith God. Yea, that my people should be me, saith God. Yea, and should behave with the authority of the Spirit, saith God. Yea, and with the humility with which the Son came upon the earth, saith God.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah,
hallelujah. Yea, when there is darkness, yea, in gross darkness, and thou dost turn on a light, yea, what happens to that darkness? My people, I say unto thee, let the light that I have placed within thee spring forth. Let the light of the living God, yea, that he has placed within thee, yea, spring forth. Let the Holy Spirit, yea, that does dwell within thy being, spring forth. Yea, let that river of living water spring forth, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Yea, says the Lord thy God, that it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Mine anointing shall come upon you, says the Lord, from time to time, and I will give you my wisdom. I will pour forth that knowledge. I will pour forth that understanding that is necessary from time to time, says the Lord. Yea, says the Lord thy God, as you gather together, mine anointing that is flowing among you shall bring about the healing to the soul and healing to the body and healing to the spirit. For I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. Yea, says Amen. The Lord thy God, put your trust in me today. Put your confidence in me. For the work that I have begun in you, I will able to complete it even unto the end. And I've started a good work among you, says the Lord thy God. That work of unity, that work of my pleasure, will come forth of the sons of God upon the earth today. And the manifestation of my people and my son, says the Lord thy God, this world is yet to see what the people of my people will do through me, says the Lord thy God. Stand ready. Be ready for the outpouring of my spirit, says the Lord thy God. I have promised, for this is the promise that I've given unto you. Yea, says the Lord, that you will be equipped and empowered and anointed to perform that which I have sent you, says the Lord thy God. Open your mouth wide. I will fill it with the words that are necessary. Open your eyes wide that you can behold the wondrous things out of my law. Yea, says the Lord, I will guide your feet. I will lead your footsteps, and I will lead you on from strength to strength and from victory unto victory. Yea, says the Lord, I will lead you from glory unto glory. I am the Lord thy God. I love you. I care for you, says the Lord thy God, and I am the one who is working out the things beyond your knowledge and understanding. Thus saith the Lord thy God to the church.
Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
life. Whenever my spirit moves, there is victory and there is liberty. I have come this very day to set you free, saith the Lord, free from the encumbrances of humanity, that you may take on the nature of the Son of God. It is my spirit that is available, but you must invite, you must ask, you must seek, you must search, you must desire and yearn for me, saith the Lord, for I will not force my spirit upon you, but I will give liberally to those who open, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Therefore, yield your heart today, for today is the day of the Lord for you, and it is the day when you can be set free, you can move on, you can be known for your wisdom as a people, your liberty as a people. Even the very truth of God shall defeat the darkness in the land through my people, but you must yield to my spirit as a people, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah.
Those burdens that you carry, yea, do not be discouraged. For yea, I have come to set you free from those things, saith the Lord. And yea, this is not a difficult thing for me, saith the Lord. And yea, it is not a difficult thing for you, says the Lord. All you have to do is yield to me. And yea, just yield to me, spend time with me, seek me, spend time in my presence. And yea, those things shall just begin to fall away, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Find that closet where you can wait upon the Lord, where you can be quiet and you can hear his voice. Yea, my people, yield to him in this, that ye shall wait and take time to be with him. And he shall bless your waiting, and he shall soften that earth that needs to be turned. Yea, my people, wait upon me and keep me close to you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated. As the praises of the Lord went forth, I'm going to give a little word of encouragement, if I can. I know the young people in Indiana know I've tried with them, but this, as we were just lifting our voice in praise, can I just encourage you mums and you dads and your young children, as soon as they reach the age to give their heart to the Lord, and they do, encourage them to verbally out loud praise the Lord in your family devotions. Then when the gathering in your Sunday services or in a congregation, they won't say what's going on. They will know that the praise is coming from their heart. And if we started them from a very young age, I felt tonight that wouldn't it have been wonderful, right down to that age, would have been singing the praises to the Lord. I just encourage, I know that the young people sometimes find it difficult to sort of be heard. Like, well, I don't want my voice to be heard. So I just encourage all you parents right from that age, because it would have been wonderful to see some 8-year-olds and 7-year-olds just turn their heads back and praise him, because they knew the Lord that they were praising. Because they've given their heart to him. Let them talk to him out loud. Brethren. It wasn't a scolding. That was an encouragement. Okay, I can't do the whole thing, guys. Do you want the
commercial site?
No.
Okay. Good to be together, right? And it's good to be in the house of the Lord. A little unexpected for some of us. Just a little encouraged with what Kelvin mentioned towards the end here about praising the Lord. And praising the Lord is something that doesn't seem to come natural. Anybody get up in the morning and say, you know, it's just awesome? One of the things that I think about is practicality of the scripture. I like to apply it to my daily life. It's not just that's the book we read on Sunday and this is what happens on Monday. And maybe this will be just maybe in a bit of a form of a testimony. I know some of the people apologize for testimonies, you know. I think that we must always give a reason for the hope that lies within us. And I really believe that Jesus is alive in our hearts and lives. And he's intricately interested in every single circumstance. A couple of things that that happened, they call them accidents, and just recently I had a little bit of an accident with my finger, and it seems like the longest one always gets there first, you know. And I guess this one needed to be shortened and the other just needed the nails clipped a bit. But I put it into a blower. Some people have heard about this and they think that, you know, like, did you get hurt with a mower or with a blower? The answer is yes. My mower has a blower. And I thought the impeller was no longer turning, had the machine turned off, but momentum told me that it wasn't still spinning. Haste makes waste. Anyway, so what good could come out of this? You know, the scripture says that we know, and we know, that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. You can't know that unless you've experienced it. This walk with God is a daily walk of experiences. Bad luck? Anybody have bad luck? Every single circumstance we go through, God is interested in it. You know, sometimes God kind of puts us, you know, in a place where we seek him with all of our heart. My mom was in the hospital, and I told her, the next time I see you, I'm going to play guitar for you. I'm going to bring my guitar along. I'm going to sing you some songs and play the guitar. And then the next day this happens. And so the doctor said, you know, we could just make life simple for you. We could just kind of cut it off at the joint. But I remembered what I'd said to my mom. I'm going to play guitar. And I thought, you know, if that finger is that short, I don't know if I can
get the chords right. And so I decided, you know, I'm just gonna leave it on, see what happens. First of all, I thank you for all your prayers. And the thing that I was thinking about this morning as I was laying in bed, I asked Lois, I says, you know, are you ready for communion? She says, are you? So you psychologists that know all about the brain, you know, could you maybe explain that to me later on? But anyways, this morning I was really, really deep thinking on if I was ready for communion. And I began to think, you know, really back, you know, went back 10 years to an episode where I thought I'd been mistreated unfairly. Now I'm going to pray for that guy, which I did. And I went through my life and I said, is there any roadblocks here? And I tried to clear it all up. Tried to clear up all my roadblocks because I didn't want to be weak and sick. I didn't want to be judged. What we put at the cross, God will take care of. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. You know, this finger was a little bit, it had an open wound in it, and it was, I didn't even let the nurses touch it. Not even my wife. Because they didn't know how sensitive it was, because it was open. And then I thought about Jesus. He was whipped. He was bruised. He had a back that was wide open. And I thought, if I would rub this finger against a piece of wood and my weight on it, that'd be tremendously painful. And he did it all for you and me. No matter which way he was going, it was hurt. It was pain. He had nails in his hands, nails in his feet, a crown of thorns. You think about, well, maybe I could kind of release my pain on my back if I put my head against the cross and kind of lift myself and take the pain off of my back. But everywhere he looked, there was pain. Sometimes life is painful. I had kind of planned on paying down some debt and I wanted to sell a car, so I had it advertised. And I found a buyer. He was from Texas. And he was a Christian. I found out after a few phone calls, and he was telling me about how beautiful it was to be retired, sit on his quad, and oversee the fields and watch the sunset. Beautiful. How many people take the time to enjoy God's creation? So, We had many conversations, and our conversations, you know, we had already agreed on the price on the car. He wanted the car. I was going to take the car. And we ended up talking more about the Lord than we talked about the car. I thought, well, here's a guy that's happy to be a Christian. And so I said, you know, I'd like to meet you, and I loaded up the car, went 1,300 miles to deliver the car. When I got there, and before I left, I said, you know, if you've changed your mind, let me know, because I'm coming. I got down there, and he said, you know, life should be easy. You know, we should do what we say and say what we do. That's basic, right? Isn't that a good idea? So I agreed with him. We went to the police, got the car notarized, and got to his place. And then he said to me, how do I make this right? I says, he changed his mind. He's a Christian. We've been talking about the Lord. And I says, so I'm thinking you've changed your mind? Yeah. And he says, how do I make this good? I said, well, I've got $3,000 tied up in this trip. So if you give me $3,000, that covers what I've got into it. It was a very inconvenient time because my mother was in the hospital and a lot of things were going on. By the way, if I want to play guitar for my mom, she's either going to have to be in the cloud of witnesses, or I'm going to have to get onto the other side now of the veil. But when I got down there, you know, he had changed his mind, and he said, well, I couldn't do $3,000. He said, how about $1,500? I said, I'm here with the car. You got the check in your pocket. My negotiations are zero. So I have no negotiating skills here at all, or power. He went into the house, got a $1,200 check and $800 in cash, gave it to me, and I was off. So this is a life experience, isn't it? This is walking with God. Woe is me. Am I ready for communion? All of your lives are complicated. My life is complicated. Your life is complicated. Every day things happen in our lives. Every day things happen in Jesus' life. Every day. Stormy, winds, all kinds of problems confronting him. What do? I'm driving off that yard. My final words to this man were, testimonies are hard to come by. Testimonies are hard to come by. You know, they're not always fun. So we drive off this yard. There could have been a lot of vocabulary that I hadn't used for a while. And so we got about 8 miles down the road. And I turned off the truck, the ignition, And I said, Lois, we're going to talk about a scripture. You know what that scripture was? The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what is it? Okay, so how do you think I'm doing on that? Do I have righteous thoughts to this guy? Do I have peace? Am I just bubbling with joy? And so I said, we're not going to turn this truck back on until the kingdom comes. Yeah. Are you waiting for the kingdom someday? Or do you want it now? You know, when the Bible says the kingdom of God is at hand, well, this was at hand too, but I mean, like we're talking about don't reach quite so far, but I'm just being a little crazy. But, you know, if there's something to be able to be handled and achieved and entered into and laid hold on, I want it. Way over 40 years ago, I was sitting in one of these pews here, and I was about a five-week-old Christian. One of those that can't crawl yet. And there was a meeting in the afternoon, and they says, anybody that wants to be filled with the Spirit, come on up. And this was mainly young people. And I was just standing there, or sitting there in the pews, and somebody came up and asked me, have you ever been filled with the Spirit? I said, I have no idea. I've just been born again, that's all I know. And so this person said, well, you know, so I asked, like, what does it feel like? Oh, it's good. Guess what? If it's good, I want it. So if we want the kingdom, like, why are we going to have a lack of joy, a lack of peace? Like, do you have peace tonight? If you don't, it's your fault. If I wouldn't have said, you know what, I'm not leaving this place, like I'm 1,300 miles away from home, and I'm not starting this truck until I get the kingdom. I believed what God's word said. I still believe what the word of God says, because the kingdom of God came. If it's at hand, the only reason it hasn't come to you yet is because you haven't taken what's there for you. And so, you can kind of fake it. You can kind of make a smile. But you know, I don't do well with phony stuff. I want the real thing. I want the real thing. And so I had to come to the point where I said, this man is not my supplier. God is bigger. Oh, you know what? I could be offended because he's a Christian, and I could, you know, really let a Christian brother that has betrayed me determine my destination. No one in the world determines your destination. Jesus has already determined that. He's paid the full price on Calvary to set you free completely. And all of a sudden, when I began to realize, you know, that God actually may have something better in mind for me. Isn't that wonderful? And all of a sudden I said, Lois, you know, we're ready to go. I got peace. I got no unrighteous thoughts about this man. I got the joy of the Lord. You know, 1,300 miles is a long ways. Not so long for Lois and I, but, you know, it is a long ways to be hanging your head and not talking. I'll tell you, we didn't miss a beat. We didn't miss a beat. No. 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 We had 1,292 miles of wonderful times. We wasted 8 miles. But that's not so bad. I mean, think about those percentages, you know. Like, think about you young people. Don't get old and have all this baggage. You know, just take it from me. It's real. It's this, what you're in here, what you're hearing, what you're involved in is the kingdom of God. You know, a lot of people talk about salvation, but we're talking about a complete lifestyle. A complete lifestyle. This is a lifestyle. When you know that God is interested in all man, he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but he came to save it. You know, for us to be in the condemning mode, you know, and holding people in prison or trying to, you're the only prisoner. Oh my, I can't tell you how my heart longs for the church to be free. I can't tell you how much I long for all those things to... You know, my dad once told me, he says, you know, I have forgiven, but I have not forgotten. If I've told you this before, this is probably the first time you've heard it. Because I know I said some things here before, and I told somebody something, and he says, I've never heard that before. Somehow there's a forgetter that when you walk through that door, it's like an eraser. But anyways, where was I? My dad, he said, I have forgiven, but I have not forgotten. And if somebody ever tells you that, you'll know by the tone of their voice whether the thing that they have forgiven is still a stumbling block. I'll tell you, this guy's name was Monty. And if Monty was here right now, I'd give him a big hug. I'm talking about the guy with the car. And, you know, I think we need to be sure that we haven't just given lip service to forgiveness and such. Like, we need to really dig deep and consider. So on the note of all things working together for good, the thing I don't like very well is needles. How about you? So when I had this episode, they froze it, and then they went and looked at other patients, and then it wasn't frozen when they came back, and then they had to do it again. This is just a little plug for HSC. And then they did it the third time. By that time, this finger was getting large. But does Romans 8:28 apply? And we know that all things work together for good. See, this is not just all good times, you know. This is daily life. This is our life. This is how it goes. Every day, something happens. God will work it out for the good. And so this couple from Iran was next door, and they were talking a mile a minute. There was a curtain in between, and very unsoundproof. And they were talking, and I thought, wow, you know, this is a couple, you know, they've got a lot to talk about. You know, Lois and I, we didn't really have too much to talk about. So they were married much less time than we were. So, between freezings, we had some time. So I thought, well, you know, after the first freezing, I thought, well, might as well go talk to these people. And we did. And we talked about Iran, and we talked about some of their political things and some of the how wonderful it is in Canada. I guess they don't know much about the U.S. But, and I talked to them a little bit about their religion, Muslim. And we had a wonderful talk. So, we talked about the fact that my tears come out of my nose. Thank you. And so we ended up talking about, you know, where all these men are, like Buddha and so on. And I said, you know, have you ever thought about Christianity? Do you know anything about it? No, we don't know much about it, but we've heard about it. He says, you know, that Jesus' tomb is empty. Jesus' tomb is empty. Jesus has come to live in your heart and your life. He's come to lead us by his Holy Spirit. He's come to walk with us day by day. We're not talking to a God who is not there. He hears every prayer. When we stopped the truck and we said, you know, we're going to talk to the one who's no longer in the grave. We're going to talk to Jesus who has come to live in our hearts and lives. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to make a difference. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and manifest himself, make himself real, make himself alive, change my life. So I think I'm pretty much done here. But my conclusion is, don't wait for the kingdom someday. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is within you. Inside of you is two natures, the nature of who you were born as a man or woman or child. You've been born again of the Spirit. You can yield yourself to who you've been born to by the natural man. You can yield yourself to the Spirit of God. And is it any wonder that it was said, he must increase and I must decrease? That's the journey we're on, brothers and sisters. That's the journey we're on. We're on that journey where you must decrease. Your anger, your anxiety, your unforgiveness, your all those things. Jesus has paid the high price to get you out of that prison. May God bless you. Hallelujah. I don't know if anybody else has something. If you do. Can we sing that song, To Be Like Jesus? All I ask is to be like him. So meek and lowly, so humble and holy. If somebody has something to add, come. If there's announcements, if nobody's coming, come make announcements.
To be like Jesus.
To the Lord, and just let him know that that's what you want to actually do. You want to exchange yourself for him.
Yes.
To be like Jesus will mean laying down of your own self, yielding yourself to him, knowing what the Word of God says, and let God be true. Every man a liar. Let my thoughts that are contrary to the Word of God be cast away. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against him. Read the Word of God. Hold it in your heart. Let it become revelation. Let it be the living Word, not some memorization. Glory to God.
To be like Jesus.
Something that has been, you'll find it in Mark. Mark. No. Oh, they should stand. They should stand. They've been seated a while back. Praise the Lord. Peter began to rebuke Jesus because he said that of the things that were going to happen to him. And he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." Jesus said. That's what he said. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples, he also said unto them, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Praise God. These are Jesus' words. Not my words, not somebody else's, but Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world or sell his car? For a profit, maybe. Or not.
Yes. Yes, sir. Mentally.
For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You've heard the testimony tonight that was right down to the nitty-gritty. You can sit down. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be long. And if there's anybody that wants to follow me up here, you're welcome too. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? ? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Shall he give anger? Shall he give his peace up? Shall he give his joy up? There's all kinds of things you can give up. What'll it profit you? He said, whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Now that should make us all tremble. That should make us all tremble. He says he won't recognize us if we don't recognize him. He says, take up your cross and follow me. Those that want wealth, are you putting it before God? Are those that are wanting whatever, are you putting it before God? Or do you want to get yourself into a position where you have to seek the kingdom of God, like our brother did here? Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. And that's not a thing we want to do. We want to hold ourselves up. We want to be number one. It's a me generation. And it's in the church, too. We must recognize that. It's a me generation. Because we've been taught that outside the church. It comes at you from every direction. No matter where you are, what you do. It's always about, what can I get out of it? What's the best thing for me? Where do I come off against my brother? Where can I get the best deal? Where can it just goes on and on and on. Praise God. But whosoever followeth me, he said, deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And he will teach us his ways and he will teach us his paths as they did our brother. Acknowledging right away, 8 miles down the road, what I need is the peace of Christ in my heart, the joy of the Lord in my heart, the peace of the Lord in my heart. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Amen. Thank you for your testimony. Isn't that a wonderful testimony? Amen. 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 Praise God.
I've knelt here. I've knelt over there. I've prayed with people over there. I've never stood here before. I don't have much of a background information here. I just background to what I want to say. I study my Bible daily, and it's something that I've been doing for the last few years now. And this particular daily reading that I did just a few moments ago, actually, as the service was starting, was talking about peace. And it sort of goes with what you were saying. And I want to read the scripture that's sort of background to it, and then I'll tell you what, as I'll talk about it. But anyways, in John 14, towards the end of the chapter, Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with the name, said to him, "Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large?" Anyways, this devotional talks about peace and says, we are promised peace. Peace of truth, peace of transparency, peace of sins forgiven, peace of relationships restored, peace within, around, and between, peace of knowing we don't have to confront, control every detail, peace of knowing our times and circumstances are in his hands. My heart rests in your peace. There is peace in each of us who know the peace of Christ. He gives it freely, and all we have to do is ask. So Jesus said to the question, "Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large?" And Jesus replied, "All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. And I am telling you from the Father who sent me. I am telling you these things now while I'm still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind, peace of heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I'm going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really loved me, you would be happy that I'm going to the Father who is greater than I am. I have told you these things before they happen so that when they do happen, you will believe. I don't have much more time to talk to you because the ruler of this world approaches. He has no power over me, but I will do what the Father requires of me so that the world will know that I love the Father. And here's what it goes. Come. Let's be going.
Those that have announcements, can you come?
Okay, I'm going to read this word for word so I don't get in trouble. After service refreshment announcement. Number one, available to those who classify themselves as a bit older. Two, young people, please use the canteen. I didn't write this, right? Three. Three. Please help defer the cost by making a monetary contribution in the bowl at the start of each line. So don't be a cheapskate, right? Four. We need help for each evening by assembly or by assembly amalgamation. You can talk to either Candace or me if your assembly can take an evening. There should be a minimum of approximately 6 people for each evening. So Candace or I will be in touch with some of you for help with that. Thank you.
Tomorrow, breakfast will be served from 7:30 till 8. The noon meal at 12:15 and the evening meal at 5:30. Tomorrow will be Manitoba and Regina. And so I'd like to have Manitoba and Regina stand so that we can see how many helpers we need to send into the fray to support them. Okay, thank you. So we need to probably double that number. So if you feel like you don't want to move to Manitoba or Regina, you can pretend that you are from there. So please, some others of you, help at breakfast and the noon meal and the evening meal. Plus, we need one supervisor for the dining hall from there. Is there someone there or on the platform who might volunteer? I can't see. Can you? Thank you, Trevor.
Isn't amazing what they do in love, right? Where's Paul Amundson? I just want to stare at him as I do this announcement. Anyways, all the parents who have young men and young women in the dorms need to come and see me. We'll just go in the prayer room behind here. And I got to get some documents signed by you. If you've been here before, you're probably very familiar with this process. And we'll get all that out of the way tonight, and then we'll enjoy the rest of the week. And I need 2 men for tonight and 2 women for tonight. There's a little confusion here, but that's what I've been told to do, so that's what I'm going to do. To be supervisors in the dorm, both the men and the women's dorm. And if they could stay a little bit after the mob leaves the back room, I will give you instructions. They're printed out and everything. So can I have that group immediately? Not after the snack and not after getting a hot dog at the canteen, but immediately join me in the back and we'll get this done in a very short period of time. That's all the parents of anyone in the men's or the boys' or the girls' dorm. Thank you.
If you could stand, we'll close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks this evening for your goodness unto us. We thank you for the moving of your Holy Spirit. And Father, we ask that each one of us would draw closer unto you this week. We ask that you would go before us and that the abundance of your anointing might rest upon us. Grant each one a good night's sleep tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.